Well, speaking of Iraq, NPR's Tom Jelton is here, our Pentagon correspondent, and there is other news this morning of a summit in the Azores on Sunday.
Right, Bob. You had me guessing there for a second. Indeed, and this comes just as the United States is in a really weakened position at the United Nations. It appears that the United States and Britain are not going to get, at this moment it appears that way, that resolution that would authorize going to war in Iraq. So this summit in the Azores will bring together the three world leaders who are working together. Prime Minister Aznar of Spain, Prime Minister Blair of Britain, and, of course, President Bush. And we haven't heard yet exactly what this summit is going to involve, although presumably there will be some regrouping and discussion among these three leaders about what do we do now. Do we go ahead and push on Monday for this vote, or do we give up? The president, of course, has already said, as Don has reported before, the United States wants to press for a vote regardless of the whip count, but now we have seen some backtracking from that position. This summit in the Azores could perhaps take a little bit of the attention away from the fact that the president seems to be backtracking on that pledge, and so from a political point of view, that would be a welcome development.
NPR's Vicky O'Hara has been following developments at the United Nations. This would be a strategy session in the Azores among the three backing this resolution?
Yes, and it's taking place, you know, as Tom was just saying, as the United States and its allies were, you know, facing a real diplomatic mess at the United Nations. Over the course of this week, you know, the United States had planned to call for a resolution for a vote on the resolution that the U.S., Spain, and Britain currently have before the Security Council on Tuesday. But, you know, then they started counting the votes or the possible votes, and there were, you know, several countries, France and Russia, were threatening a veto. And then as the week progressed, you saw support erode even further among the other members. There were six undecided countries, or at least they were undecided publicly. And by midweek, the State Department said they thought they were making progress. There were reports that the three African countries, Cameroon and Guinea and Angola, they thought they had convinced to support it. And then yesterday you had state-run radio in Guinea say that Guinea would abstain. And so, you know, you have to have nine votes to get through the Security Council. You have, you know, threats of two vetoes. There were working sessions in the Security Council last night and the night before, and by all accounts, those sessions ended in, you know, total disarray. The, you know, diplomats are angry. The U.S. and Britain are very angry at France for the hardline position it's taken. And so, the United States is actually talking about, you know, possibly pulling the resolution, you know, rather than put it forward and have it not just fail, but have a majority voting against it.
Yeah, Ari Fleischer, the White House spokesman, said today that these leaders will not discuss battlefield tactics and detailed military strategies, and he emphasized it is about diplomacy, it is about strategy going into the UN. And yet these are three that agree. One would think they'd be meeting with those they're trying to convince.
I think, you know, they're going to have to decide whether it's worth putting this resolution to a vote at the current level of support. There also is the British compromise plan that was introduced a day or so ago. The British have suggested giving a little more time for Iraq to demonstrate compliance, perhaps 10 days. The current resolution says March 17th, which is Monday. So the British have suggested give it a little more time and give Iraq a specific list of six things that it has to do, one of which is to let 30 important Iraqi scientists leave the country, go to Cyprus to be interviewed by the UN weapons inspectors. And then, you know, at the end of that 10-day period, then the Security Council could review the situation and say, okay, you know, Iraq hasn't complied, that's it, you know, military action, or not, you know, let weapons inspections continue. That plan hasn't gotten a lot of enthusiasm within the Security Council, mainly because the six undecided countries, as well as those who are adamantly opposed to the resolution, basically say that 10 days isn't long enough, that they need, you know, the inspections process needs to be given more time. So I think, you know, they probably are going to be reviewing the British proposal to see whether, you know, there might be some, you know, some tinkering to that would attract more votes, or whether they're simply going to have to give it up and pull the resolution.
So we shouldn't expect anything necessarily on Monday. It'll all depend on what they decide at this summit on Sunday.
That's right. You know, they could decide, you know, we're not going to win on this. It's going to be a disaster. If we go to war, we're going to be going to war with, you know, a majority of the Security Council on the record opposing the action, which is, you know, in terms of international legitimacy, is very, very bad. You know, so they could decide it's better to pull the resolution, or, you know, they may tinker with the British plan, or, you know, try to come up with some changes to the resolution that's on the table. It's just very hard to know. And in the meantime, you've got the Security Council ambassadors in New York meeting. They're meeting this afternoon to discuss this issue again. And, you know, everyone desperately wants to find a compromise that attains a consensus within the Security Council, because, you know, to have military action outside of the authority of the United Nations is really bad for everyone.
Well, time might be useful, Tom Gelton, in the deployment of troops so that they can be ready. They're moving ships from the Mediterranean to the Red Sea.
A little bit of time might be useful. Some of the equipment, for example, for the 101st Airborne Division has just recently arrived. Only within the last week have they sort of gotten together. And so, a few more days might be helpful, a week, possibly even 2 weeks. If you get much beyond that, that's too much time. It's getting hot, and you have troops waiting around indefinitely, then that would be a problem.
I'm wondering about Tony Blair's situation in London, and you know, there's been a little bit of backtracking on his part, Vicky. Is this summit useful to him back home?
Well, I think, you know, the British public, as well as Tony Blair's, you know, own political party, you know, want to see that he is doing everything in his power to keep this process, you know, within the under the umbrella of the United Nations. And the fact that, you know, he's going to the Azores and meeting with Blair and Aznar, it sort of demonstrates that they are going the extra mile for diplomacy. There also seems to be a little bit of a gap between the British proposal, this compromise proposal, and the U.S. and Spanish endorsement of it. When the plan was introduced, it was introduced as a side statement to the draft resolution that's before the Security Council. The United States, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., John Negroponte, said that the U.S., you know, supports the concept, but the U.S. and Spain didn't actually sign it.
Thank you very much, Vicky. Vicky O'Hara, Don Gagne, Jennifer Ludden, Tom Gelton. You've been listening to a special report from NPR News.